The reading is Luke chapter 11 and verses 1 through to verse 13. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me. I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me, the door is already locked. My children and I are in bed, I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
And if you've closed your Bibles, if you could turn to that passage in Luke 11, that'll be a help, I'm sure, as we look at it again together. And we're going to be thinking about some of the words that Jesus says here. Yeah, so who was here on Christmas Day? Just a raise of hands. Yeah, there's quite a few people here. It's not a test, by the way. You're not kind of taking a register and thinking, they weren't here. Why weren't they here? So, no, don't worry about that. So there's a few people here on Christmas Day. So you'll have seen all the children come up and show their presents, which was a real joy, wasn't it? I think one of the joys of Christmas is seeing children get their presents. Isn't that one of the joys? You know, it's absolutely one of the joys, isn't it? Seeing children get their presents on Christmas morning. And it was a joy and a delight to see children bringing some of the gifts that they've been given on Christmas Day, here on Friday. To see their joy in their presents brings us grown-ups joy. And particularly if we've given gifts to them, to see them enjoy their gifts, it gives joy to the heart of the giver. Did you get what you asked for? Yes. Yes, so, yeah, nodding there. Yeah. Did you get what you asked for? Yeah, nods. Nods everywhere. Yeah, people got what they asked for. So at Christmas time, we ask for gifts, and we receive good gifts. And thinking about all those good gifts that we get at Christmas time, and some of which we saw on Friday, it reminds me of these words that Jesus says. Familiar words, but let's hear them again from Luke 11. Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened up to you." Jesus here is teaching his disciples to pray. The disciples have asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." And so he teaches them. Verses 2 to 4, this is what he says. Let's look at them again. He says, "When you pray, say." So here we're told what prayer is. Prayer is saying. That's what prayer is. Prayer is talking. Talking. "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" So Jesus is saying, when you pray, say. Prayer is talking. It's talking to God, to your Father. And more specifically, prayer isn't just saying, it's asking. Do you notice that? It's asking. Every single one of those petitions in the Lord's Prayer is a request. It's asking. Hallowed be your name. That's a request. Your kingdom come. What's that? Request. Give us today our daily bread. What's that? That's a request as well. Forgive us our sins. That's a request. Lead us not into temptation. A request. Prayer is asking God for things. The Lord's Prayer is full of requests. And Jesus is calling on people to ask the Heavenly Father for good things, for really good things, for things that we really need. Everything we need to hallow his name. Everything we need to make it through today. Everything we need to be forgiven and to forgive. Everything we need to resist the devil. Good things. These are brilliant things to ask God for. But Jesus knows, yeah, this is really important, this. Jesus knows that you and I will be reluctant to ask God for good things. So he tells a story in verses 5 through to 8 to remind us what God is not like. Now remember it when Steve read to us. Jesus says, picture this scene. You've got a friend and you go to him at midnight. That's late, isn't it? Midnight's late. And you say to your friend, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey's come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. It's midnight, I'm in bed. I'm in bed, my children are in bed. Please, don't bother me. The door's locked. I can't get up and give you what you're asking for. And Jesus says, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give the bread because of your friendship, but because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. And what Jesus is saying there is, where on earth did you get the idea that God is like that friend? Because each one of us is tempted to think that God is a bit like that. A bit like that tired, grumpy friend. And Jesus is saying he's not like that. Jesus isn't like that. God isn't like that. He's your Father. That's the basis of our praying, isn't it? First phrase in the prayer that Jesus teaches his disciples is Father. That's the basis of our praying. The friend is grumpy. He's tired. He is selfish. But he still gives you what you're asking for. And if a tired, grumpy, selfish neighbor, friend, does that for a friend, how much more will a loving Heavenly Father meet the needs of his own dear children? That's what Jesus is saying. We don't pray to a friend, do we? We pray to our Father as Christians. We're not praying to a friend. We're praying to our Father. And God, our Father, is not like this friend. He's not like this neighbor. He never sleeps. And he never gets tired. And he never gets grumpy. He's never irritable. He is always generous, always kind, and he always delights to meet the needs of his children. That's what our Father's like. So Jesus says, going on in verses 9 and 10, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. Whoever seeks, finds. And whoever knocks on the door will be opened. But Jesus knows, even now, he's talking to his disciples, he knows that they and us, as we listen in, even though he's commanding us to ask and seek and knock and pray to the Heavenly Father, we won't do it. We won't do it. And we won't do it because deep down in our hearts, there is a deep distrust of God. There's something in us that thinks that God doesn't want to answer our prayers. There's something in us that thinks that God is a bit reluctant to answer our prayers. Or that he wants to trick us and give us more than what we bargained for. Or we think that God is some big killjoy who wants to spoil our fun and limit our freedom. We mistrust God. There's a mistrust that's been deep within us since Adam and Eve rebelled against God in the garden. Human beings have been infected with this since Genesis chapter 3. When our first parents, Adam and Eve, they believed the devil's lie and they turned their backs on God, doubting his goodness. That was the lie of the devil, wasn't it? God doesn't want you to eat from the fruit of that tree because he's mean and he's nasty and he wants to keep you down. Because he knows that if you eat that tree, you'll be like God. And you won't die. And they believed the lie. And they doubted God's goodness and God's love. And they took the fruit. And ever since that day, human beings have doubted God's goodness and his love and his generosity. Jesus knows that even though he's telling us to ask the Father for good things, we won't do it. So at that very moment when he's telling us to pray, and he knows that we don't do it, he won't do it, he says this brilliant thing. He asks this brilliant question. Just look at it with me. Verse 11. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Now, there are a few fathers here this morning. Any fathers here this morning? Okay, yes, yeah, so we've got a few fathers here. Which father here would do that? All right, if your child asks you for a fish, nice fish, we'll give him a venomous snake. Anyone here do that? Well, picture the scene. Picture the scene. Now, we're going to have a drama now, by the way. And I should say, we did have some proper actors for this, but because it's Christmas, they're visiting family somewhere else. So we've got the stand-ins. Just thought I'd better warn you. Okay, so it's the 20th of December. 20th of December. So we're rewinding a bit before Christmas. And Mum and Dad are making final preparations for Christmas. Little Johnny is 8 years old, and he's just bursting with excitement. Sadly, Mum isn't feeling great. She's suffering from a really, really bad cold.
Oh, I'm just too ill to go out shopping. Would you mind taking over, dear?
Oh, I'd love to. What's left to get?
Oh, thank you so much. Well, little Johnny, he's so excited about getting a goldfish this year. So if you could get him a goldfish, that would be great. Get him a really good one, because he's so excited about it. Is that okay?
That's fine.
It's going to be a really great Christmas.
Okay, I'll get that. Oh, lovely cute goldfish, eh? What a nice idea. Actually, I don't even care what Johnny wants. I've got a much better idea. I've thought of something that's really going to teach that little brat a lesson. It's time for Dad's revenge.
Okay, now, that was the 20th of December. We're going to fast forward now to Christmas Day.
Happy Christmas, Mum! Happy Christmas, Dad!
Happy Christmas, little Johnny!
I'm so excited! Can I have my present now?
Of course you can.
I can't wait to see the goldfish that you promised me.
There you go, little Johnny. It's in there.
Thank you very much. I think the stand-ins were quite good, actually. Little Johnny's an early developer. That's a ludicrous picture, isn't it? That's the picture that Jesus is painting there. And it is, it's a ludicrous picture. What father here, if his son or daughter asks for a goldfish, would give him a poisonous snake instead? That's not likely to happen, is it? And Jesus continues, and this is brilliant. He says, if you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? A child asks for something that is good, and their mum and dad decide to give them something harmful instead. We don't do things like that. And we're evil. As a dad, I've got two sons. As a dad, I really, really love to see my sons happy. I really do. I love to help them when they ask me for help, when they humbly ask me for help. It's a delight to help them. Thinking back this week on the 22 years that I've had sons, I don't think I've ever, ever, ever begrudged feeding them. I've never begrudged clothing them or giving them a roof over their head, bed to sleep in at night. It's been an absolute delight to do that. I love to give good gifts to my children, and I'm evil. I am evil. Jesus tells me so here. And you're evil. And yet you know how to give good gifts to your loved ones. But God isn't evil. He isn't evil. How much more then does he love to help his children when they come to him? He's a perfect father to his children. He's perfectly kind. He's perfectly generous. And he's not a deceitful God, so he won't trick us. We can trust him to give us good gifts. He's our father. Our gifts are good. We saw that on Friday, Christmas Day. Our gifts are good. But God's gifts are better. And the greatest gift of all is the Holy Spirit. What an amazing gift. The Holy Spirit is the best gift that anyone can ever have. The Holy Spirit is the ultimate gift because he is God himself. What a gift. The Holy Spirit is the one who makes us alive to God in the first place. He's the one who brings the new birth that we all need if we're to know God and live with him forever in heaven. He creates the life of God within us. Eternal life, indestructible life. He's the one who helps us to go God's way. He's the one who helps us to walk in the freedom of obeying God's commands. The Holy Spirit is the one who makes us more and more like Jesus in our personality and our character. He's the one who helps us to know we're forgiven and assures us of our right standing with God and our place in the new creation. The Holy Spirit is the one who helps us understand the Bible more and to grow in our love for God. He helps us to love others. He helps us to forgive others. He helps us to overcome temptation and to resist the devil. He protects us from sin and strengthens us to keep us going in the Christian life. He's the one who helps us to persevere to the very end. And he's the one who gives us more and more and more, and there's much more than the list of things I've just given. Wow! God loves to give good things to his children. He is eager to give good gifts to his children, things that are really, really worth having. These are the things God loves to give to his children, priceless gifts, gifts that last forever. And all we have to do to get them is ask. That's all we have to do to get them, is ask. And often, very often, we don't have what we could have simply because we won't ask God for it. I wonder what it is that you haven't asked God for yet. What is it? Maybe it is salvation. Maybe it is the new birth that God the Holy Spirit brings, and the forgiveness of sin and eternal life with God. Maybe you haven't asked Jesus to come and live in your heart by his Spirit and to change you and to rule you. Well, all you have to do is ask. And if you sincerely and meaningfully ask him, he will do that. And the words of our first carol, our song, O Little Town of Bethlehem, are good words to pray. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Descend to me, we pray. Cast out my sin. Enter in. Be born in me today. Well, all you have to do is ask. Maybe it's to honor God more, to love him more, to enjoy him more. All you have to do is ask. Is it for strength to overcome temptation to a particular sin? All we have to do is ask. Perhaps it's strength and courage to talk to our friends more about Jesus, to take the opportunities that come our way. All we have to do is ask. It could be the grace to forgive someone who's wronged us. All we have to do is ask. Or it could be help to be less selfish so that we know the joy of being more like Jesus in serving others. All we have to do is ask. Maybe it's to understand the Bible more. All we have to do is ask. Maybe it's help to read it regularly. All we have to do is ask. Perhaps it's peace in the midst of anxious times, or joy in the midst of trials and troubles. All we have to do is ask. God loves to give us such things. He's not a mean, nasty, reluctant ruler. He's our Father, and He's bigger, and He's better, and He's stronger than any earthly father. He loves us more strongly. He understands us more deeply. He delights in us more fully. And when we hear that, we think, well, what are we waiting for? We've got to get asking, haven't we? And it's my prayer that 2016, for us as a church, I'm talking here to Park Street regulars, but if you know, to any Christian here, is going to be a year of asking, of real asking our Father, of real praying. God wants us to pray. Prayer is one of the things that we struggle with more than anything else, isn't it, as Christians? God wants us to pray. He's our Father. Christianity is relationship. We talk to those we love. God loves to hear His children. Let's get talking. Let's get talking this year, 2016. We also pray because God in His wisdom has chosen our prayers, our asking, to be one of the ways that He does His sovereign work in the world. Did you know that? Now, we can't fully understand that, can we? But God in His wisdom has decided to use your prayers and mine as one of the means to do His work in the world. Now, He could do that without prayer, but this is the way He's chosen, and it's a wonderful way because it reminds us of our dependence on God. If we ask not, we will have not. If we rely on ourselves, God will leave us to ourselves. God doesn't need prayer, but He uses prayer. Let's get asking. And also God wants us to pray, and this is the most important reason why we should pray. God wants us to pray because prayer glorifies God. God is glorified when He is seen to be the giver of the good things that we've asked for in prayer. That's right, isn't it? He's glorified when He's seen to be the giver of the things we've asked for. If we didn't have to ask, then we probably wouldn't notice the answer. And if we don't notice the answer, then we're going to forget the one who's given. When we express our total dependence on God in prayer, He is glorified. When we put our trust in our Father and ask Him for good gifts, He is glorified. A praying Christian is an asking Christian. And an asking Christian is a dependent Christian. And a dependent Christian is a Christian who glorifies God. A praying church is an asking church. And an asking church is a dependent church. And a dependent church is a church which glorifies God. We want to glorify God this year, don't we? 2016, the year that faces us, and we must be a praying church. We must be an asking people, a dependent people, because it's a dependent people that brings glory to God. So I want to encourage us to do that on our own, in our homes, in our small groups, to be prayers, to be askers, as a whole church when we come together, to be prayers, to be askers. Please make an effort to get to the prayer meetings. Our first prayer meeting of 2016 is Wednesday the 6th of January. It would be great to see as many people there as possible as we gather together to ask our Heavenly Father for His good gifts, things that we need so that He is glorified. Jesus said, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Now to Him who is able to keep us from stumbling and to present us before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.